And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
There's something wrong with you. You know that?
Because you and I are like a mullet. Sid is the business, so he's the front part of the haircut, and then I'm the party in the back.
I think they're hilarious.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
All right, what's up, everybody? Sid was distracting me in the background here, and I couldn't find the button. But anyway, who cares? What's up? It's Friday. It is April 29th. I am super excited about today's episode. I am joined by my friend Sid Meadows. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. It's risky to bring him on early, but what's up, Sid? How's it going?
Man, Billy, I'm doing great. It's going to be an interesting show today because you forgot to start the intro on time. You're taking your glasses off and on, and I just got back from a long trip, so we'll see how we do today, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be terrible. I'll just go ahead and warn you guys. Real quick in the chat, we got Brian Little saying he's on his lunch break. Brian, this is probably no way to spend your lunch break, but I really appreciate you doing it. And then what's up, John? John is a new supporter of the show. Always here, hanging out, showing up. Let us know where you're watching from in the chat nearest to you. And also, be sure to hit that subscribe button wherever you're watching this. If it's on Bullhorn, if it's on Guild, we're now on Guild, Facebook or YouTube or wherever, hit that subscribe button, support the show. We are here Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, and we're going to have fun today, Sid. We're going to have a good time. We got a good show lined up talking about digital storytelling. I'm sure I know a lot about that because I probably do a lot of it. So it'll be interesting to define what it is that I do.
It will be interesting to see if you're actually doing digital storytelling.
That would be interesting as well. So maybe I just like really put my foot in my mouth right there. We'll see. But before we get into it, Sid, how was your trip? You went to Lake Tahoe. You haven't shut up about it since we've been on the pre-call.
We've only been on the pre-call for like 3 minutes, and you kept asking me questions about it, so I kept answering the questions about it. So, yes, yeah. I was talking about it.
Talking about Tahoe and how you laid up by the lake all day. So how was it?
So I'd never been to Lake Tahoe before. This was my first trip. And, you know, you hear the term lake, and you think, okay, we're just going to a lake. Well, what you don't realize is that when you get there, the scenery is unbelievable. And I mean, it's just one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. So if you've never been to Lake Tahoe, you got to go. And I mean, there was snow on the mountains full at the top, and then it was cold during the day. I mean, it was I think the highest one day got up to 70, but at night it was in the 30s and 40s, but it was absolutely beautiful. And the resort that we stayed at faced the west. And so the first night we were there, I was walking outside. I saw the sun setting. I'm like, oh my gosh, wait a minute. It's going to pop right over that mountain. I actually went live on Instagram to watch the sunset. It was so cool. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it was a really pretty place. Had I known where I was going and what was going to be there, I would have stayed a couple of extra days. But as you can see, gotcha. I'm a little bit hoarse because I facilitated an event for 4 days.
Yeah, so I saw the microphones that you took a picture of and you put on Instagram. I thought you were at a rap battle. I thought you were a rapper unknowingly to me, and that you were rap battling.
You know, I do have some hidden talents. I just don't share everything with you, Billy.
You do not rap. Do you rap?
No, I don't rap.
Oh, man, I was going to be like, you're not getting off the stream until you
That's
do.
That's great. No, but I have been talking literally nonstop for 4 days, so I'm a little hoarse.
Well, I'm glad we can finish off your voice here on Creating Daily. I'm excited to see you squirm vocally. Yep. All right, let's jump into a couple little segments, and then we'll get into the main content of the thing. We'll keep it rolling. So first up,
that's news to me.
Creating Daily. All right, that was the wrong news.
It's going to be an interesting show, Billy.
That was the wrong music. But anyway, we don't have any news for you. I'm sorry, but we do have a tool that Sid recently discovered. I've been using for a while. So Sid, why don't you tell the people what they're looking at or what you found yesterday?
So somebody was telling, we were just having a conversation about things available on the internet. How do you connect with people, finding people's email addresses, reaching decision makers? And this guy said, oh, have you tried Hunter.io? And I went, no, what's that? And he goes, so you just can find anybody's email address. And I went, you can do what? He goes, yeah, it even has an algorithm in it that it'll figure out the cadence of how companies do their emails, whether it's first initial, last name or whatever. But what I found really, really interesting about it, he goes, it's what this site does is scans PDF documents, and it's grabbing the contact information from a PDF document. Oh, that's really cool. So I haven't really checked it out. I just sent it to you, like, do you know about this? And you've said you've been using it for a while.
Yeah, I've been using it for a while. I did not know it scanned the PDF documents. I thought it just scanned, like, websites. However,
he said it scanned PDF documents. Now, is he telling me the truth? I don't know.
Well, if he's not, we'll have to punch him in the face next time we see him. But I don't know.
His name is,
I mean,
Ian, yes.
Ian?
I'll go get Ian, yes.
He's lying
Ian.
To us. But I have used it. I found it a long time ago because I was trying to figure that out. I was like, man, how do I get in touch with people? You know, mainly through like sponsorship deals, sales, all that kind of stuff. And so one thing that I've been, how I've used it in the past is if I was trying to get in touch with a company, I would go to like LinkedIn, figure out what department, like marketing or whatever. So look at the company, marketing, blah, 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 figure out who worked in that department, who I thought I needed to talk to. If I couldn't find contact info or couldn't get them to reach out on LinkedIn, I would then go back to their website, use Hunter, and it would be like, oh, you know, m.steller at, you know, whatever company.com. And I'm like, oh, M. Steller is the marketing person here. M. Steller is, this is their email here. So that's probably a match.
Nice. Yeah, I think when he was telling me about it, to me, that's the, I think, the best tool to use. If you're trying to find a sponsor for your content or for your show or whatever you're doing, and you know the company that you want to sponsor, you've got your target list, but you don't know who, then you can do some research and use that tool to figure out how to get to them. So I think it's a, I'm going to be really interested this weekend to go try it out and see what it does.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, I'm excited. And then before we get into the main part of content, we've got one more segment here.
Creator highlights.
No cooking necessary, no assembly required.
It's got to be funky.
All right, today's Creator Highlight is brought to you by Al. This is a new app that makes it easy to connect with experts and get your answer, your answers, questions, your, maybe that too, but get your questions answered really just by jumping on your phone, jumping on an app, figuring out who you think can answer that question, and you pay for their time per minute. But then on the flip side, if you are an expert and you are sharing information that is valuable, then you can charge for that expertise. And right now, Al's in like a beta, a limited beta, so you can use the referral code BT614503 when you download the app, and that's going to get priority access, and you're going to get a $10 sign-on bonus. So pretty cool, man. Sid, have you been on there? I know you're an expert on there, but have you used it lately?
I have not. I signed up in the very beginning, like months and months ago. And then I just got super busy and I haven't actually completed my profile yet or any of that kind of stuff. But I promised that Jason, the founder of Owl, that I would do it by the end of the month. Well, that's tomorrow. So I got to go get it done tomorrow. So Jason, if you're watching, I promise I'm going to do it tomorrow. Okay.
Awesome. Well, and then I want to give a creator shout out here. Goes to our friend Mike Hamm of the Garden State Podcast. He also has, I believe he has another podcast called The Morning Spotlight that he does as well. So super cool creator. That Garden State Podcast, it's all about New Jersey. Really cool, but I just want to highlight him as a creator. I'm not in New Jersey, so I don't, sorry, Mike, I know you're probably not listening, but I don't listen to your podcast, but I love you as a creator and I see what you're doing. So I wanted to highlight you. Do you know Mike? Are you familiar with him?
I do. You know, Mike used to host a Wednesday morning clubhouse room or a Monday morning clubhouse room or something like that I would attend a lot. Really smart guy. I think he's got two podcasts because this Garden State one, he just started a couple of months ago, but he seems to be doing really well.
If you're going to co-host the show, I need you to listen. I just said that. I just said the name of both of them.
Okay. I'm going to go into
I'm going to need you to pay attention. Can I get a co-host in here that will listen to when I talk? Will they please listen and not repeat the content, please? Anybody?
I said already that it is, it's been a long week.
Excuses.
My sinuses are driving me crazy. I can barely talk. And you're giving me some crap.
You know
I'm
what?
Just going to go to the green room.
I'm going to get a Sid excuse counter and put it on the screen, along with all the other counters that we've decided to put on this episode. All right. I got more piece of thing, and then I'm going to let you talk a whole lot more. So rest your voice for a second. I got some highlights or some take this from this week.
Yes, this is business. Yes, it's marketing. Yes, it's building an audience. It's also still a kind of broadcasting. And if you're not fun to listen to, if you're not engaging, if you don't make people think or laugh or learn something, there's just too much competition out there, and the platforms aren't helping us at all right now.
When I'm commenting on their post, one, it's done, it's kind of a pay it forward. Mm-hmm. It's getting them higher ranking in the algorithm because people are commenting and having conversations, but it's also free real estate on their feed. So if I show up and I leave a very valuable comment asking a question or making a valid point, they're going to say, like, who is I Am Katie Brinkley?
If you do it Monday through Friday or Monday through Sunday, whatever your show is all about, just stick with that. And if it is 5 minutes every day, 5 minutes it is, right? So I think the science is to stick with your schedule and that's it. And then people will start coming to you no matter what.
If you have said this before, if you're like, I cannot build a big audience with a niche, I want you to ask yourself this one question, or let me ask it to you and you can answer. Have you tried? All right, Sid, that is to take this. Some takeaways from this past week's episode. So if you guys are watching or listening and you thought any of that was interesting, go watch the full episodes. A lot of great content this week.
So I'm sad I missed this week because I was tied up all week during it. I would have really liked to listen to Katie talk about the engagement and social media. I'll go back and watch them, help you with your analytics. But Billy, we talked about this last Friday. Why am I not in the take this segment?
Well, because we're not taking this until now, so I don't know.
But I should have been in the segment. The Friday show should have been in the segment.
Go ahead. Give me your take this from what you're going to say. So go into the future.
I don't even remember what last Friday show was about.
Get your best takeaway that you're going to tell me on this episode and just give it to me now.
What was last Friday about? What did we do? Something digital. I don't remember.
I can't remember.
John's asking for a cup of coffee to be a co-host. John, let me just tell you, Billy is cheap, and you ain't getting Jack. Sorry.
Yeah, so John says he requires a cup of coffee to be a co-host. Sean Savage says, I might be free to co-host, but I'm not cheap. Meanwhile, you guys are all, thanks for being my friend. And then,
wait a minute, whoa, Sean, are you indicating that I'm cheap because I'm the co-host? Is that what this is saying here?
Let's not talk about paying co-hosts and pricing and all that kind of stuff. Going to go over here, Ricardo, as well on Guild. So we're on Guild. So he says, cutting it loose, not allergies, great excuse with Sid. Okay.
Billy,
and the show is so well produced. Great job. Thank you, Ricardo. I work really hard to keep Sid in line. I make him look good. I make him sound good. And he treats me like garbage. It's ridiculous.
I think you need to go back and reread that first comment.
Which one?
On Bullhorn. I mean, excuse me, which, I don't even know which
one. On Guild. That was on Guild.
Sorry, Guild.
No worries. Yeah. What does it say? Cutting it loose? I don't know.
What does
it
say?
Cutting it close. I can't read. It's too far away.
Where are your glasses?
Hold on. Those glasses. Let me bring these glasses back into the mix.
Yes.
All right.
And Ricardo, I appreciate the support, man. My allergies are going crazy. I live in North Texas where everything is yellow and it's 80 degrees. And I spent a week in Lake Tahoe where nothing is blooming. The air is cold and crisp and very dry. And dude, my sinuses have, been acting up a lot. So
you're from Texas, where everything's bigger, including the sinus infection. So Sean says Sid is priceless. You know,
I hope Sid can make it through this blooming episode.
Older things do get priceless after a certain age. You know.
So, can I have the green bean, please? Because I need to move you to
there's no green bean here. We're not on Clubhouse. Knock that green bean talk off. Anyway, all right, Sid. So let's get, man, I don't know how you can breathe at all. You're drinking water. You're drinking energy drinks. You probably get a coffee.
That's not an energy
drink.
Hold. Time out. That's not an energy drink.
Oh, it's not? What is it?
No, that is a carbonated ice drink.
Wait, is that like iced coffee?
It's water. Sparkling water.
Ooh.
Have you not ever had an ice drink?
I mean, I've had a drink with ice in it, and I've had a sparkling water.
The name
water.
Of the brand is called Ice, I-C-E.
This is probably, I don't know, my camera won't focus on that, but this is a La Croix.
Freaking camera's backward. I can't even, never mind.
It's good. We can read it, though. That's the important thing.
So, Sid, yes.
Sid, I'm going to give you.
Today's show is brought to you by Ice, caffeinated water.
If you guys send me a check, it will. So Sid, I'm gonna give you a little tip when live streaming. I give this tip all the time, so it's not just you. Oh, but when you want to show a product, just hold it up in front of you because that's where the camera's looking. Just hold it right there. It's good. People are like, hey, can you see this? What about
going
that
back
one?
To bed. I need a nap. After this show, I'm going to need a nap. Can we cut out in 15 minutes? You're
yeah,
talking to me crazy.
We're out of here. Give me your best stuff. Give me your best takeaways and we'll get out of here.
All right. So we're going to talk about last week. We talked about digital something last week. Oh, we talked about digital sales strategies last week.
That was 2 weeks ago, Sid. That was 2 weeks ago.
No, it wasn't. It was last week.
I don't know. I don't think so. Because I would not do two digital titles back to back. I just wouldn't do it. It's not in my personality.
I'm going to go check out YouTube and see what the topic was from last week.
All right.
It was digital sales strategies. Anyways, today we're talking about, if I can talk, digital storytelling. And I love the guy, Billy, the first guy that was talking about, if you're not saying something that is polarizing or challenging or fun, you know, you're not going to attract the audience, right? And so this past week, when I was out at Tahoe, I did that quite a bit. In fact, I want people to disagree with me. I want you to disagree with me often.
You must love this show. You must love our collaboration.
Yes. I want you to disagree with me so that we can have a conversation. I want to hear your viewpoint, right? And so I believe that we need to be using all different types of digital media to build our brand and to grow our business, regardless of what it is you sell, whether it's coaching services or you have a course, or you sell a physical product, you have to have a digital strategy and you need to be doing digital storytelling. The problem that happens here is so many people just post about their product and they say how great their product is, mm-hmm. or it's all about me, 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 meaning them, the client, them, the person, them, the company, and it's not about their client. And so when you're using digital media, we'll talk about the different types of them, especially the social version of it. One of your biggest goals is to get people to stop the scroll, correct? You want them to stop because people are typically on their phone and they're doing this and you want to stop the scroll.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to stop the scroll with a picture of your bottle of water that says, hey, check out my new bottle of water for $6.99. People aren't going to stop.
True. All right.
Tell them a story about this bottle of water and where it came from, the benefits to it. They're going to stop. They're more likely to stop and engage because do you know why, Billy?
Because people like stories. I don't know. Is that why?
People like stories. Yes, people like stories. But what do you know what else is important about storytelling?
I don't know. You're asking me all these tough questions. I'm supposed to be asking you the questions. Hold
You're
on.
You're the
a second.
Student. You're the student.
Sensei, I'm not sure. Please tell me.
So people remember stories. Statistics prove that people are like 75% more likely to remember something when told in a story format, right? So if I said to you, Clydesdale and Yellow Lab, what comes to mind?
Budweiser and what is that movie about that stupid dog? It dies and I cried. Oh. What is that one? Old Yeller.
You got it. You got Old Yeller. Oh my gosh, you got it right about Budweiser. It's immediately identifiable, right? And you think about that Super Bowl commercial from a couple of years ago that runs. Some versions of it run, and that's a story being told that has literally no voiceover. It's just action, right? Yeah. It's the guy, the dog, and the horses. And nowhere through that entire video until the very end does it say Budweiser.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point.
No branding. But it's a story visually told with no voice, right?
Yeah.
You remember it. I think everybody probably watching is going, I know exactly the commercial that you're talking about. And so what that does is you remember that story, remember that commercial, because we resonate with stories.
Yeah.
And so Budweiser's marketing goal with that is that when you're in the beer aisle and you see a Budweiser or Anheuser-Busch product, you immediately think about their brand and you grab their product over the competitor product.
Yeah, that's good. So Budweiser has a giant marketing budget, probably some of the smartest marketing minds in the world. Mm-hmm. So how do we pipe this down and say, if you're scrolling through, how does Billy Thorpe or how does, you know, Sean Savage or John or or, you know, somebody in the chat here, how did they catch the attention of people with their, you know, and I'm going to keep it content creation because that's what we mainly focus on the show, is like, how do I get people to stop? Am I like, stop, listen to my show, watch my live stream? Like, how do I get their attention? Because I think with social media, the difficult part is getting someone to slow down and click. I can't tell the story if you can't watch the video or listen to the podcast. So how do we do that? What's the strategy there?
So before we answer that question, let's talk about the different types of digital storytelling. Let's talk about the medium.
That'd be good. Medium, all right. Okay? Let's do that.
So obviously first is video. We're doing it right now, right? There's long form video and there's short form video. So you could think of a short form video like an Instagram Reel or a TikTok or whatever those other platforms are where you do short form video. So video is super engaging. We know that. The second type is audio. So podcasting, Clubhouse, social audio. The third type is written. Excuse me, Billy. The fourth type is images. And the fifth type is virtual reality. And so those are the basic types that I've come up with through my research. And in actually, this is a whole training program that I have, Billy. So this was one of the sessions.
I knew that there was a pitch somewhere. You're telling all this storytelling stuff to pitch my audience. Thanks a lot, Sid. I appreciate that. No, I'm just messing. Okay, so but what I think you're saying here, and what I've always said throughout my whole life, I guess, is like people can only consume things a few different ways. Either I'm going to watch it and listen to it, or I'm going to read about it. Like that's really the only three mediums. And then you can split those up in how many other ways you want.
Yep.
But that's our real three main focuses. Is that right? Am I missing one?
Yes, I would agree with you.
Okay.
We listen, we listen, we watch, and we read, right? So those are the basic types. And, you know, you don't have to make this complicated, but what I really want people to do is rethink what your content looks like. However you're telling a story or however you're trying to reach your client or whatever kind of content you're creating, be sure you're telling them a story. And I don't mean tell them a story like the hero's journey story that all the movies are based on and all that kind of stuff. It's important to do that, right? But what's, I think, even more important is just tell a story that resonates with them. So can we do, Billy, can we do an impromptu
share? Oh, boy.
Share?
I knew this was going to come.
Can you do an impromptu share?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Share? You asked me for example. I want to give you an example.
Oh, yeah. We can do that.
So go to LinkedIn and go to my profile on LinkedIn. Okay?
I wish you'd give me a little heads up on this. I don't know if I can share this screen super quick. Let me go. Sid Meadows. Okay.
And then scroll down till you see the one that there's an image with my daughter sitting on the bench with the brace.
I know this story.
Okay. And then open it up and then put it on the screen if you don't mind.
Jeez, bossing me around here.
If you don't mind.
Let me see. Hold on a second. I'll create a new thing here because I don't have one set up for this. You help a brother out, man. Hold on a second. Keep talking, Sid. I'm gonna bring it in on my phone.
There's somebody banging on my door, Billy. This is a Friday. Somebody is literally banging on my front door. So I'm like, what the heck?
You need to take it? Maybe we should take an intermission here.
They can just bang. I don't know. They can just bang. I was like, what the heck? Hey, Drew, what's happening, buddy? It's good to see you, man. Congratulations, Drew.
Drew's in the chat. All right, dude. Let me find this. I wasn't expecting it.
No, that's okay.
Ricardo's going to take his comment back about being well-produced. He's going to delete it. Thanks a lot, Sid. Anyway, go ahead.
It's been a long week, man. So, but... You can, it's a roofer or somebody selling something. That just drives me crazy, Billy. Walking down my street.
No worries. So here's what I'm going to do, Sid. I'm going to bring this up. I'm going to bring it up in my iPhone here, I think, I hope.
Yeah.
Give me a second here. I'm going to fix it up. Yeah. I should be able to do this in the background, but I'm not doing it. So anyway.
That's okay. So basically what I did was I told a story about what happened to my daughter. And I correlated it to what I learned from her in the instance that she got injured a couple of weeks ago playing soccer. And I told that story on LinkedIn, and you'll see it's not a very long post. It's cut into really digestible sentences with the check marks on it and with the image of her, right? And I kind of told what I learned from her by going through this instance, right? Not very long at all. and I put a picture of her. Okay. That is a story. That's a story. It's a personal story, which actually personal stories do really, really well on LinkedIn. However, it's also a story about learning and growth, right?
Okay.
It's about learning and growth and overcoming. And it's a story also about being a parent of how, you know, what we can learn from our children, right? It's about a parent experiencing an injury of your child, but also what we can learn as we watch them go through it in the instance. And so I was extremely motivated to post that just because of what happened, right? And I took that picture of her when she was getting treatment from the trainer right after the accident happened or the injury happened. You can see her face is really red because she'd been crying. That story, Billy, is almost 10,500 views on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So it's got 129 likes and 46 comments.
So one thing I want to point out real quick while we're talking about this, and this is, you know, kind of to the point of like, we're only, you know, we're visual, we're audio, or we're going to read some stuff. And what attracted me to that story was not the 500 words or whatever that you wrote with it, but it was the picture of your daughter with her leg up. And I think when we're posting this stuff and we're trying to get people to stop, and this is like, you know, I talk about that YouTuber, Mr. Beast, number one YouTuber on the planet or whatever, like his thumbnails are so crazy and attractive that it's like, I got to click on that. So I think that is, you know, to this point as well, it's like, this is a really, you know, something we got to work on as creators. If we want the scroll to pause and say, whoa, what is that? We got to get these icons working for us and these pictures working for us. So
yeah, it's got to draw them in, right? But there's another part of that post, Billy, that is really effective, which is the first line. It happened in an instant. I'm starting a story, right? It happened in an instant. And the vanity metrics of it are really good. It's one of my most popular LinkedIn posts ever. But here's the important aspect of this. I believe, I have to go count again, I'm up to like almost 50 emails that people have sent me
from
that have reached out to me directly from that post, either directly into my email box or to the LinkedIn Messenger email box.
Wow.
Asking me first off, how's she doing? But more importantly, telling me how much impact that post had on them and how much that post helped them. I didn't sell anything, Billy. That post was not about selling. That post was about helping people and serving and adding value.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? My brand got in front of 10,000 people with a very memorable story that maybe the next post brings them into my ecosystem. Maybe they hop on my email list. Maybe they inquire about a product or a service that I've got, right? Mm-hmm. Because this, just like having a digital sales strategy that we talked about a couple of weeks ago and telling digital stories, this is the long play. This is not instant gratification. If you want instant gratification for selling your product, go run a Facebook ad or a LinkedIn ad or Google ads or all that kind of stuff.
I don't know if you're going to get that either.
This is true. This is true. But this is about building authority, building a relationship, and, you know, connecting with your ideal client in a digital format. So that's just one example. I did it this week.
Yeah.
I did it this week in my Instagram stories.
Well, and I want to say too, real quick, I think too that, and we're talking, and this is business talk, by the way, this is always the business talk segment of the week. I bring Sid on. And so it's always, you know, what are we doing as creators to bring people into our world? And this is what, you know, this is what we're talking about. And I think what draws people to it is there's so much noise on these social platforms, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, like everywhere. There's so much crap and everyone's selling something. And then when you look at somebody being a human, being vulnerable, saying, hey, this is how this made me feel, that is what really drew me into that post that you're talking about. Yeah. You know, the only thing that I would say that you should have done with that post, and I just have to be this person, you should have sold a sponsorship spot to that leg brace company. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that wasn't even a leg brace. That was what the school had. Oh. That's not even a real leg brace. That's a temporary one. So, but
I'm like 10,000 posts. Like, we could have got some money off that.
Yeah, $2, you know. But the other thing that I have to, what Brent says, doesn't it feel weird to do the personal angle as a business strategy? Absolutely not, Brent. Absolutely not. because there's a business, our lives are intertwined, right? Our business life and our personal life, they're intertwined, okay? And for so long, people have talked about, well, I'm going to create a work-life balance. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing as work-life balance. Balance means that both things
are. Did you hear that, honey? Get in here.
But listen, what does balance mean? Balance means both things are equal. They're balanced on a scale. Your life, your personal life, and your work will never be in balance. Mm. One of them, in most cases, work takes more precedent than personal life, right? Yeah. And what we learned in the last 24 to 36 months, Billy, we learned how to effectively integrate our life and our work. Working from home taught us how to do that. Being able to be connected on Zoom and Teams and all the other tools that we use when we were all working from home, and so many people are still working from home, we learned to integrate. We learned to say, okay, I can stop at 1 o'clock. I can take my kid to soccer practice, or I can go to a game, and then I can come back and work 2 more hours later at night. We effectively learned to integrate work and life. And people want to know, Brent, and anybody else listening, they, especially if you're creating content, they want to know that you're going through that too. And they also need to know how you can help them. Right?
Yeah.
That makes sense?
That's good, man. I mean, and I think that is kind of the thing that I'm always, you know, of course I have kids too. Well, I have a kid. I have a young kid. And so I'm, you know, I want to incorporate him into the business story. But then I'm, you know, I think for young kids, sometimes I'm like, man, I don't want people seeing my kid. I don't want people really knowing my personal life and personal journey. That. You know, and people ask me all the time, like, dude, how come you're in Puerto Rico and you're not posting pictures and of your family and all this stuff? Like, sure, we're taking pictures, man. We're having a good time. But I just don't want to put all that stuff out on the internet. So I do think there needs to be a balance of that, of like, what is business, but what is makes me a human. And I know people who've come into my ecosystem, so to speak, and they've, you know, maybe bought a workshop and they come to the workshop and they do the workshop and I'm like, what attracted you to do business with me? And they're like, dude, you're just a person. Like you put your pants on the same way. And I think so many times when we present digitally, for whatever reason, there's been this thing, like we got to put our best foot forward and we got to put our highlight reel out. But I love the vulnerability aspect because it does. And I know Brent, from Clubhouse, and you know, we've done this through voice. Speaking of audio, we've done it through voice, where I've heard, you know, that vulnerability and became friends with him and liked him, like had, you know, and vice versa, you know, and became friends that way. And so I think it is a good idea. I mean, I guess it's whatever you're comfortable with. Like, I'm not really comfortable just spreading pictures of my kid everywhere. However, that story that you told and you put that picture of was like, okay, that really hit home. So
you understood it. Every aspect of our personal life does not need to be shared. But if an experience that you just went through in your personal life can benefit your community and your people, then share it in a way. I didn't have to put the picture of my daughter. I could have just told the story without the picture. Right.
Yeah.
And so, but if it's impacted you and you think it will impact your community, your followers, then tell the story, however you want to tell the story. You can write about it in a blog. Mm-hmm. I could have done the same exact thing in a 500 word blog and posted it on my website. I write a column for a magazine. I could have written that exact story with the same messaging and put it in the magazine as well. So, you know, you don't there, if it resonates with you and you think it's going to resonate with your clients, then tell them, tell the story. Yeah. Now for me, stories like that, it's just a feeling. It's like I feel drawn to tell that story. Like it's like I've got to get it down on a piece of paper right then. So it's an emotional thing for me. I have several that have happened that way, and they just like they blow up.
Yeah,
it's shocking. But so when I have that feeling, like I got to get this down, I have to stop and write it. Now, I may not post it till days later, but I have to stop and write it because it's right there. So, you know, they don't all come that way. I wish they did. It would be great if everything was that inspired, but it's not, right? But Billy, I want to actually give you, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I was just going to say it's good, man. I like the thought process behind it of like, and like you said, you know, you get on Facebook, man, and I mean, people put everything on there. It's insane.
Yep.
It's like one of the reasons why I don't really go on Facebook much anymore. It's like, you know, my kid's hamster died, and here's a picture of it, and grandma died, and here's a picture of it. And I'm like, whoa. But when you're strategic as a business owner to wrap that into that story and package it up, I like that, man. That's a good strategy.
So there's a couple of things to think about here. Just as a route to remember, people do business with people. You 100%. Are a brand. You are a brand. Even though you have a business that has a name, I have a business that has a name. Most people don't even know my business name, right? Because I don't talk about my business.
I don't
business.
Even know it, yeah.
Because I am my brand. Brent is his brand. Drew is his brand, right? And people buy from people, and they want to be connected to you, especially now. They really want that connection with people in a bigger way. So take advantage, but utilize that to your benefit to build your brand and grow your business.
Get their emotions, right? Squeeze them up and put them in your pocket.
That's right. That's right. So, but I want you to think about a couple of other aspects too. That was a personal version of it. But right. While we're on this brand thing for a minute, who has more followers, Billy, Microsoft or Bill Gates?
I would imagine Bill Gates. Yeah.
Who has more followers, Tesla or Elon Musk?
I would say Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Now he has a lot more. Because he's...
Yeah, he's true. Jeff Bezos or Amazon?
Probably Jeff Bezos. Well, I don't... Does he? I guess he does, maybe.
Yeah. If you go and look at the statistics, the personal brand has more followers, more engagements than some of the world's best known businesses. Amazon, Microsoft, Tesla, British Airways, or Virgin Atlantic.
Yeah.
They're all household brands, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why I think you need to focus on building your brand, and people resonate with people. If all you're doing is pitch your product, and I said this in the training this week, because this was a full, and I'll tell you what we did, but this is a full day of what we did in digital storytelling. Sell your product without selling your product. That is effective digital storytelling.
Sell your product without selling your product. Okay.
Yeah. Sell your product without selling your product.
So what is the, and I guess my question here is to say, like, how do you craft this story? Like, I'm sure you guys probably talked about it this week, but, you know, for the average person, maybe they're a great storyteller. I've met some people that are just phenomenal storytellers. Like, they can literally tell you about going to the supermarket and buying a watermelon, and you're on the edge of your seat to figure out, for the credit card swipe. And then you have people like me who I'm like, oh, I went to the store, but then on the way to the store, I saw the squirrel, and I almost ran into the, you know, and I'm like all over the place. Maybe I'm a good storyteller. Maybe I'm not. I don't think I'm the best. So how do I do that? But do it in an authentic way where it's not, I'm going to try to craft this thing because I want it to produce results versus just being who you are.
So one of the best ways, if you can do this in your business, which you can do it in your business, is before and afters. Show me the before image or tell me about the before. And then tell me about the transformation and the success that happened after. If you watch HGTV or any type of home improvement show, right? They spend 29 minutes showing you everything before, and you're literally on the edge of your seat waiting to see the after. You're like, hurry up, show me the after. I want to see, what does it look like? And they draw out the anticipation of it so you stay all the way through. That's what I'm talking about, a before and an after. So in your case, Billy, I would tell a story of a struggling podcaster who was struggling and almost was about to give up doing what they're passionate about because they couldn't financially do it. They came to you, you helped them, and now they're a financially successful podcaster. Make sense?
Yeah. No, that makes
beginning,
sense.
Beginning, a middle, and an end.
That makes sense. Beginning, middle, and the end. I like
now,
it.
I'm going to add to this. If you don't know your customer and if you don't know their pain points and they're struggling, you're going to struggle to tell a digital story to your customer.
Boy, that sure sounds good.
You don't get many of those on this show, but I think this is the most killer thing that people got to figure out is who in the world are you talking to? I talked about this yesterday on the show. Was like niche versus no niche. And I think when you can really dial that person in. Now, I'm not, I know maybe some people, and maybe you are this way, Sid, where you're like, it's Johnny and he sits at the third bar stool on Friday nights at the you know, old watering hole, and he drinks Bud Light and drinks three of them, then goes home and, you know, like talks to his wife or whatever. Like, I don't really know my audience that well, but I know them well enough to know where to find where they're hanging out and get that information that they want and need and be able to deliver it to them. So I think before anybody tries to tell anything, like, you got to know who you're trying to tell the story to. You got to know your audience.
We got to add one sentence to that. You have to know their challenges as well. You have to understand their problems. And then you have to understand how your product solves their problem.
Yeah.
When you know how your product solves their problem, right, then you'll be able to tell, and you know who they are, you'll be able to tell a very effective story however you want to, right? And it can be just an image by itself, right? I mean, you mentioned the microphone pictures, right?
Yeah.
And I took a snapshot, put it on my Instagram story with two microphones, me and the other person hosting the event with me, that said, we're about to begin. I'd already said I was in Lake Tahoe. I'd already said that I was there hosting an event. And then I put in, now we're about to begin. And then I've posted a couple of other images, like a big group image. It's our final dinner. And there's 100 people standing behind me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hosted an event for 100 people. And they're all standing behind me. And it wasn't like I gave a keynote. It was 4 days worth of Sid leading this entire conversation, every training, every aspect of it. I had a co-host as well. But that story built my authority as a speaker. It built my authority as a host of an event.
Yeah.
Right? It gave me credibility to those types of things. And I didn't even say a full sentence on that image.
So here's my question, because I love this hybrid thing that we're talking about, because we're about to go hybrid right now. Because you were at this event, you're posting, you're not really saying what it is. How many people did you get, like me, who were intrigued? Now, I didn't say, oh, what event are you speaking? I knew you were speaking at an event because I know you told me you were going. But I was like, oh, what's up? I still engage with that content by saying, like, oh, what are you doing, a rap battle? Like, the way I engage with content. But how many more people did that with those images?
I would say that if I were looking at engagement metrics, you know, likes, comments, and that kind of stuff, so the vanity aspects of it, very limited.
Yeah.
But the brand awareness aspect of it? Off the chart.
Yeah.
Because remember,
that's good.
Most people don't engage.
Yeah. True.
Most people just scroll.
And there's probably a lot of people on your friends list, I imagine, who probably hold events similar to that or host them, who are like, oh, I didn't know Sid did that. Like, now I'm going to call him next time I have an event for him to come host it.
Or
this is good.
Or maybe, I'm about to have a national sales meeting and I want to challenge my salespeople to think differently because I'm a sales guy. I mean, it's always have been, right? We're talking about digital storytelling that leads to sales. So, and so hopefully somebody sees that and goes, well, this would be great. Let me hire Sid to come be a keynote speaker and talk about digital storytelling to my salespeople and teach them stuff new. So it's that authority, that brand awareness. It may not happen now, but it could happen in a year. It could happen in 6 months. It could happen tomorrow, but that all contributed. And I have not posted much about this on LinkedIn yet, but all the other people that are there that were there, not all of them, but a lot of people that were there have been posting on LinkedIn. Do you know what I've been doing?
Commenting.
Yes.
Engaging. Yeah.
Commenting and tagging and communicating, thanking them for their participation, right? I've been, because commenting is content.
Yeah.
That's content. Good, yeah. So I'm as many as I can see and do, but the way we wrap this thing up, and I know we're getting close to running out of time, but so we set up this whole thing about digital storytelling. We gave all these examples and then they were set up into teams. The participants were set up into teams. And so I challenged them. This is a morning session. So I challenged them to figure out how to present a digital story in our afternoon session. And he gave no parameters other than be creative, have fun, right? But come back and tell a digital story. So they came back to the afternoon session. They had 1 hour as their groups to work and plan it out. And then we had 30 minutes for the groups to present. I'm just going to tell you, I was shocked. I was floored at how creative these people got and how competitive they got. One of the teams, Billy, created a video. They created a video that told a story about a journey of hiring people to come work at their organization. They edited it. They put music on it. And we played it for them, and they did that in an hour. We had another group that, this is a great example. I'm not going to give the whole thing away, but there is a gentleman that I met this week that I had not met before that's the president of a company. And he has one of the most powerful stories I have ever heard. And he told his story to them. Well, they took that, and they turned it into a poster board LinkedIn post. And they enacted a conversation on LinkedIn with everybody commenting and tagging. It was fascinating all these people did. Yeah. And so it just proved to me that it worked. So I that was just part of this exercise, but I think I'm going to actually incorporate that into the overall exercise. But the other aspect of it that I really appreciated about this particular group that I was with, again, it was 100 people. Yesterday, before we wrapped up, or as we were wrapping up yesterday, we went around the room and let anybody share what their biggest takeaway was. At least 60% of them said digital storytelling. They now understand how to communicate better and how to actually try to reach more people. And that's what this is all about. And you have to try. You have to try. Because you don't know if it's going to work unless you try. So my challenge to anybody listening, before you start writing a post about exactly what it is that you sell or what it is that you do, look at that and say, how can I change this? How can I change the words to make this a story that will make people stop and engage with me?
Yeah, that's good, man. That's a good tip. I'm going to take some of this stuff and try so you guys will start seeing. Maybe I can tell some stories. Now, I do have a question, though, because I recycle some I mean, we all do, right? We all have our expertise stuff. So how often are you telling the same story? Does it matter? Is it a rhythm? Do you try to get more
stories? It's a really great question. And that's a better question for someone like Katie Brinkley, but it's a really, really great question. But here's what I'm going to tell you is I don't think you can tell a version of a story enough, but you got to tell it differently. Gotcha. What you can't do is what we see all these crazy people do. And if anybody's watching does this, I'm sorry if I'm calling you out, but I'm calling you out. Posting the same content on every platform on the same dang day at the same dang time. Because what happened, you can insert the explicit if you want to, because what happens is your audience goes tone deaf.
Yeah,
because they likely follow you on more than one platform. And if they see exactly the same content on LinkedIn and on Instagram and on Facebook and on YouTube or Pinterest or wherever the heck you're Twitter, wherever you're posting things, they start to tune you out.
But hold on. I'm going to disagree with you there because.
Let's have it. Let's go.
Because I don't think that everyone sees all your content on every platform all the time. So. So it's not likely that Sid Meadows. Now, I guess if you are a super,
super
fan, then yes, that is probably correct. But if you're not a super fan, then that's probably incorrect. So, should I cater to my only engaged audience over trying to grow a new audience and wear myself out trying to create for every platform, or should you just go? I mean, you've never called me like, Billy, I'm so offended that you put Larry the Lemon on Facebook and on Instagram. Like, what are you doing? So I don't know if I totally agree.
I like Larry the Lemon, though. I watch Larry the Lemon a lot, so I'm good with Larry the Lemon.
That dude's a sucker, man. I hate that one.
So here's the thing. You have to create content that suits the platform.
Well, that makes sense.
You do.
That makes sense.
I could take that exact LinkedIn post that you showed and put it on Twitter, but it wouldn't work on Twitter. The copy's too long. The image is too big. I have to adjust it.
That's true.
I need to shorten it in order to tell the story on Twitter.
But you can put it on Facebook. You can put it on Instagram.
I do, but I'm not trying to grow a Facebook audience. I'm not. I mean, I have two Facebook
ding,
pages.
Ding. That's what we're trying to talk about. It's like, where do you want to be? Where do you want to grow? And then figure that out. But I do think it takes, just like this live stream, like people are like, don't multi-stream, tell people where you're going. But there's a certain aspect of it of like, people don't even know what I'm doing, more or less where I'm going or where I'm at. So I may have to turn back on multi-streaming, which I did today, to see what that, you know, I turned it off for a while, just did Bullhorn and YouTube. Now I'm turning it back on because I'm always testing, and all these platforms are always changing. I mean, if we think like this is set it and forget it, like we're all going to just be doomed. But I do love showing up, telling the stories, however you tell them. If you, whatever your bandwidth is, this is what I want to tell content creators. Don't feel like just because you can't post a different post on 18 different platforms, you shouldn't post at all. And I think that's where I was really going with this, was to say, don't let the overwhelm of what you should do or a best practice keep you from doing anything at all. So that was where
I
was going.
So I have two things to say here. Like when I post on Instagram, it automatically posts to Facebook.
Yeah.
Because I don't care about the Facebook audience. But true, the little toggle switch is there, so I just do it, and maybe somebody likes the Facebook, or maybe they come to Instagram and they follow me, because my focus is growing LinkedIn and Instagram. That's my focus, right?
Gotcha.
So yeah, I have the toggle switch turned on, yes, right? But you know, we can over-consume content, and we can over-create content, right? So, yeah, you can.
I don't think so. I don't believe that. I don't believe you can overcreate content. But anyway, go ahead.
I'm going to tell you what I think. Here's a perfect example of, I think, a way you could grow your show. Okay?
By kicking you off of it after that statement. That's where we're going.
No, yeah, have sit on every day, and then you'll grow your show. No, not at all. Please, I don't have time. But take the best quote that Katie Brinkley says on Tuesday, and post it on Twitter on Thursday and tag her, and then go in the comment and say, watch my full conversation with Katie at this link. And then do the same thing on LinkedIn, but do that on Wednesday.
Yeah. But,
right?
But
just take a highlight section of it, right?
I agree with that.
And just like, it's just like the text, just the text. Like on, or if somebody said something really, really good, create a poll on LinkedIn. And then in the comments, direct them to the show, right? You have so much content, right? And
there are nuggets of
gold every day.
I have a ton, but here's the problem, and this is might just be a me problem because I am going live every day because I'm trying to produce a really well-produced show up front. Now, I am talking to somebody who's actually just texting with them. I was just texting with them before we jumped on about getting some of this video content, chopping it up, putting it different places for me, all that kind of stuff. So I think, once again, that is all bandwidth stuff. It's not like know-how or what should. It's where do I want to play? What do I want to do the most of? How do I want to show up? And so, but I disagree with you that, and this is my last disagreement with you today, Sid, is that you can create too much content. And the reason why I say this is you look at people like Gary Vaynerchuk. This dude's producing probably 100-plus pieces of content per day. And I'm not seeing any, you know, I'm seeing maybe one or two of those per day, but he's like rapid fire documenting every, and he's on a different level too. It's kind of like me saying,
he has the whole team, that he has the whole company that supports his content.
Exactly. But he's pushing so much of it out and no one is seeing all that. Like, even though I follow him, I'm seeing like a very, very tiny portion of it because these algorithms aren't 19, you know, or not, they weren't even around in 1990 anything, but they're not like 5 years ago algorithms. They are suppressing stuff. It's pay to play. YouTube's pay to play. Instagram's going to be pay to play. Like, all this crap is like, you want to be seen? Yeah, cool. Open up your wallet and we'll let you be seen. However, for me, I'm like, my strategy is a little bit more organic where I'm like, I'm just going to show up every freaking day, same time, same place. And if you like this content and you resonate with it, I'll see you tomorrow. So that's kind of,
but see, I don't think you're creating too much content.
There's no way I'm creating too much content.
I don't think you are creating too much content. No, I don't think you are.
You think Gary Vaynerchuk is?
I don't follow him. I just started following him.
You should follow him because then you'd be carrying your phone around on a selfie stick talking to yourself all day.
This week is the first. I followed him this week, literally, because I don't follow him. But you know, we'll see how it works. But, you know, I think you have a very valid point. And what I would say to anybody listening is do what feels right for you. do what works for you, but just make the best of it.
Brent says the 24-hour room idea just went out the window. That's funny.
People do it. People are doing multiple days worth of rooms.
I love that. I think I told the story yesterday where I was in a clubhouse room where they went 60 hours trying to convince Mr. Beast to come in there.
Yeah, I remember that. You were doing all kinds of promotion stuff and everything for that.
Dude, I was in it, man. I was sold. They told me the story. They got Snoop Dogg in there after the Super Bowl. I was pumped, man. I was like, we're going to do this. We didn't, but we tried.
But so, they told you a story.
They told me. They did. They told me a story that gave me some hope. So it was good. But, man, I love this conversation. We can definitely dive into it a little bit more. And I was just kind of interested in what the whole storytelling digitally was about and how do you put it together. But it would be interesting to do a challenge with people listening to this show. And we didn't talk about this pre, but just kind of an impromptu. Like, if you have taken some of this information and you're going to put it out there, make sure you tag Sid and I in those published stories. And then maybe we could do a recap. And if people do it, we can do a recap and show those stories on the show. That'd be really cool.
That would be great. Yeah. If you do it, tag us. And then we can actually bring it on live next week even and tell you what we think about it, right?
Yeah.
And cool. It's funny, this guy that I mentioned has this really powerful story. He's going to be a guest on one of my podcasts coming up. So I'm not going to give it all away. But he totally lost my train of thought. Oh, he wrote a LinkedIn post today. He's not active. He's the president of a company. He's not active on LinkedIn. And he sent me a message last night and said, hey, would you check out my post and give me some feedback? And I said, absolutely, I will. I saw it. I thought it was really good. It's a great first start. And so I took it and I cut it up a little bit more because what he put in one post could have probably been five different posts. It read really good, easily, yeah. But he could have broken it up into five different pieces of content rather than one piece of content. So I'm going to show it to him. I've got a little Word document I'm going to send to him and say, hey, these are some of my ideas. That's just my perspective. I am not a LinkedIn trainer. I am not an Instagram trainer. I am none of that. But can I tell you one more story, Billy? Sorry about this.
Hey, this is a storytelling podcast episode. You go for it.
Yeah. So Saturday, I don't think I've even told you this. Saturday was my son's high school prom. And I have not told this story yet out on the, I'm going to actually do a reel about it. But because he goes to a small school, the parents get to kind of go and do everything. So we went to the prom location. Everybody's taking pictures and, you know, all the parents are there. And so I'd had my fill of high school prom pictures. So I'm like, okay, let's go. So we start walking out. And this guy grabs me by the arm and he says, hey, I want to meet you. And I said, well, hey, that's great. I'm Sid. And he told me his name. And he goes, I follow you on Instagram. And I really enjoy your content. I'm an entrepreneur and your content has really helped me. And I've seen how you transformed your page. And he knows Sue B, or he follows Sue B too, I guess. He goes, I see how you've transformed your page and you're doing a really good job. And I just wanted to meet you and tell you thank you.
Wow. That's cool.
He's never commented, never liked, never sent me a message, but yet he stopped me at a public event to meet me and to say thank you.
That's awesome.
That's what content is about.
That's good. Right? Yeah.
Now, the time is right for that guy, he very well may become a customer. It's just not right now. He may come into one of my training programs, right? He may want to hire me to become part of our group coaching program or something like that. But now's not the right time for him.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's just good. And I want you to do another follow-up story of why the heck you're bombing your son's prom. That's what I'm...
In the essence of not... In respect of not being called out by all of the parents, I'm going to remain silent and plead the fifth on this comment.
Sid, it's always
not
a good time.
Answer that.
It's always a good time, man. I look forward to Fridays because I know we're just gonna have a lot of fun, and you bring you're the business in the front. I'm the party in the back, man. So it's always a good time. I know people got a lot of content out of this, or a lot of value out of this content, I should say. So really appreciate you, Sid. Thanks for jumping in. Rest that voice. Get some rest. Hang out with your fam, and we'll see you next week.
Well, appreciate you, buddy, very much. So I expect to see this episode in the Creator Highlights next Friday.
Well, no, you get in the creator highlights after this episode that goes out over the weekend.
You're just making stuff up now.
No, there's a highlight reel that has Sid in it. I put it together after the show, and I put it out there. You don't ever see it? See?
Oh, my God.
See my point? I don't create enough content because you would have seen it. Because I also post it on Instagram.
I don't have to go look for your content because you always send it to me.
Well, that's true. That's a hack. You want more people to watch and listen to your stuff? Just send it an email. Like, it's pretty easy. I link all. That's how I get views. God. That's how I get views.
All right, I'm
going to
go take a nap. Happy Friday, everyone. It was a lot of fun, Billy. I'll see you next week.
It was awesome. See you later, Sid.
Nice.
All right, everyone. That is it for Creating Daily. Really appreciate it. Be sure to hit that subscribe button wherever it is near you. If you're watching on Guild or Bullhorn or YouTube or wherever you're watching, follow us, say hello. And then also, I'm looking for guests, always looking for guests. Go to creatingdaily.live or go to onesheet.pro/BillyThorpe. Go to my live stream thing and hit apply to be a guest. If you're a creator, if you have some value to bring, more in a how-to format, if you will. So go there, apply. Actually, just go to the one sheet, onesheet.pro/BillyThorpe. Go to the little live stream thing, and I'll link it in the show description, show notes. And then also hit that subscribe, follow, all those fun things. And we'll see you Monday. I get my friend Chris Vaglio coming on. He's a live streamer, a podcaster, does super, super cool stuff in the business world as well. Some business coaching, kind of a jack of all trades, if you will, in the media space. So we're going to come on, talk about all the fun things that he does and give some insights on what that looks like. All right. Thank you so much for watching. And we'll see you Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern.